Hi everybody, welcome to our podcast for this week. This week I am having a chat with Min Chai. Min is the founder of N2 Gelato. Hi Min, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Min, for those of the students who haven't been to your stores or aren't in Sydney or Melbourne, tell us a little bit about N2 Gelato and the concept.
So what we do, we basically make our gelato with liquid nitrogen. So it's nothing new. It has been done before by high-end restaurants like Fat Duck and more. But what we did was we commercialized the idea, as in made it into an ice cream store based on that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we use liquid nitrogen, firstly, it's you get the best result. So freezing by liquid nitrogen, because it freezes so quickly, it gives you the smallest crystals.
Mm.
So what it means is also smoother on your palate.
So a really desirable texture.
Yeah, and also like using liquid nitrogen, what it means is it gives us the flexibility to serve our gelato at the temperature we want. Instead of having the product stored in a freezer, we freeze it as we go, so we can make it warmer than usual.
Mm.
And also incorporate fresh ingredients. So, it's just fresh.
Cool. So, guys, if you haven't been to one of Min's stores, it looks a bit like a laboratory. So there's great big KitchenAid mixers and all the staff wear lab coats. And there's very much an atmosphere going on. So, Min, where did the idea come from? So you mentioned that it had been done before, but for you, where did the idea come from? Or what sparked you?
So when I first started, I wanted an ice cream shop. When I started this journey, I wanted an ice cream shop that's quirky, that's fun. While I was going through the whole designing, doing the concept, my architect suggested to me, have you tried liquid nitrogen? And I said, no, I've not tried liquid nitrogen. So that's when I started looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
and doing more research into it, and
cool. And the idea just appealed to you.
Yeah, it just was different. You can't resist, like, you know, gelato with a theatre. It's just too good to pass on.
And theatre's so important when you're bringing out new food products, particularly with your stores, because you've got a lot of open glass areas where all of your consumers can see the process.
Yeah, it's very visual. It's a very visual thing. I think these days people are not just looking for product, they want something more. And having the theatre certainly did help.
Mm. So what were you doing before you set up N2? And why did you decide to change?
Oh, before N2, I was actually an insolvency accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know insolvency, it's not the happiest job. You know, you chase up creditors, you call up crying directors. It's a very depressing job. So hence I thought, you know what, I need something happy. I need a happy place. So I was looking through my Facebook feed, scrolling through, and just go like, oh wow, a lot of my check-ins or happy place are at gelaterias, ice cream shops. You know what, maybe I should look into this. So that's when I started to sort of go, yeah, why not I go further into it.
Had you made ice cream before?
Absolutely not. that was the uphill battle, really. Because I am trying to open up an ice cream shop without any ice cream experience. And I say without means, like, I have not worked in an ice cream store, I have not been in an ice cream store, like, behind an ice cream store. So I literally have no idea, and everything had to start from the very, very scratch.
So did you start at home, or how did you go about it?
Oh, absolutely. So I started at home, reading some recipes, and also doing some short courses. And, a lot of trial and error.
Because it's not easy.
It's not. It's in fact the hardest, one of the hardest field in cooking, because you're not talking about just temperature. Here in ice cream, I can get very technical, but
that's okay.
Long story short, it's like, it's all about balancing your sugar, your fat, your protein, and your water.
Yeah.
And if any of that component is not balanced properly, you won't get a good product. So from time to time, we have to balance this product. And to make it more complicated, when you get other flavors involved, then it changes your balance.
Mm.
Then you have to rebalance back. So it is extremely technical if you want to get into it.
For sure, for sure. You had this idea. Facebook had kind of sparked this idea in you. How did you start, and what were your biggest challenges when you started?
I guess for me, the biggest challenge would be trying to convince people I am going to make this work.
Yep.
So, it like I said, it was like uphill battle. So, basically, you're telling, hey guys, I'm opening up an ice cream shop, but I have no experience in making ice cream. Now give me your money, and I'll show you I can make it work. So, that is the struggle. So, because of that, you work extra hard to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
So that to me, it's one of the major driver to want to make this work.
How did you convince people?
Product. So after all the trial and error, I start going around places, homes, and friends' homes mainly,
mm-hmm.
to show them this is what I'm doing. Taste this. So did a lot of taste testing with dinner parties and stuff, and that's where I got feedback, and I changed. I modified recipes, I make it sweeter, less sweeter, and it went from there. And by the time, you know, I'm ready to open a shop, sort of have this idea of how good ice cream should taste like.
Hmm. So you opened up your first premises in Chinatown. Why did you choose Chinatown?
It's not
cool, it's not trendy, and a lot of ice cream places, I guess, in Sydney tend to try to find those really kind of hipster, trendy places, but you picked something that was a little bit different.
Actually, when I first started, I was looking at properties, different properties. I narrowed down to like a couple of suburbs. So the first one was definitely Surrey Hills, followed by Balmain, and then Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reason being, Balmain, Surrey Hills, they're both more hip than say Chinatown. The reason why Chinatown is just an area that I'm familiar with. Yeah, of course, an area that I'm familiar with. So as I was going through them, I was just seeing whatever property came along, and Chinatown just came along and at a very good price.
Mm.
And it's a location that, it's not the main part of Chinatown. If you're familiar with Chinatown along Dixon Street, on the bottom end you have that little gate and that very Chinese, Asian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I'm situated in, it's upper end of Dixon Street. So it's actually more like a back alley, a thoroughfare between Darling Harbour and Chinatown. So back then when I first started, it was not a very popular place, hence the cheap rent as well. But over the time, it started to become popular because it's like back alley, lots of cute little restaurants. So riding the back of other restaurants, I think we made a name for ourselves.
Cool. What would you do differently if you could start again?
If I could start again, I would start earlier.
Start earlier?
Start earlier. It's just, like, I've spoken to some people, like, there's no point waiting. The idea of, I don't know, from my perspective, the idea of, you know, waiting, getting more experience and getting ready is, to me, I think it's very overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I find you learn way, way more when you're in it. Like, yes, experience might help when you start and you move, but throwing yourself into the deep end, You have to swim. You have to learn. So that pressure really made you go, I have to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And you do anything you can to learn and to grow.
Cool. What are some of your favorite flavors? If you haven't been to Gelato, the flavors are quite quirky. They're quite different. I know Min's told me about some ones that are a bit edgy. So what are some of the flavours that you like the most, that you're the most proud of?
Well, to date, 3.5 years later, I think we have done about 460-something flavours.
Wow.
So that's the range that we have done. And in terms of favorite, oh, so many of them. One of the one that came onto my head was called Bangkok Nuts.
Bangkok Nuts.
So it's basically salted peanut with coconut sorbet and Thai milk tea whipped cream. So there's a lot of flavors elements going in there. And I really love that flavor. And but then, you know, flavors like another favorite of mine is actually one of the strangest we have called cough syrup gelato.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you're familiar with Asian cough syrup, they're like herbal cough syrup.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's got that beautiful eucalyptus camphor and a bit of molasses flavor to it.
Oh, wow.
So we add it to gelato, and then it just gives you that really beautiful flavor. Again, it's hard to stomach the idea because it's, if you look at it, it's like cough syrup gelato. But if you take away that and you eat it, it's actually beautiful.
And I guess that's how you found your niche. Obviously, you use the good nitrogen, but it's easy for people to take that idea up as well. But your flavors are much more unique than a lot of other places. A lot of other places use fruit and sugar and chocolate, whereas you're a little bit edgier with what you do, which is cool.
Yeah, so since we started back in 2012, there were a number of copycats,
mm-hmm.
people that tried to copy what we do. Yes, they did copy, and some of them even carbon copy our whole lab idea and stuff.
Which must have been infuriating.
Oh, it's infuriating at the same time flattering, because, you know, they say plagiarism is the best form of... oh God, I can't even get that
flattery.
Right. Flattery,
yep.
That's
mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good and bad, but because I don't think a lot of people understand, but what we really, really focus on is our product and our flavors and how we do it. So, they can, as much as they can copy the concept, they can copy the way we take photos on our social media and whatnot, they cannot copy what we do. And hence, now, a few years later, we see some of them already closed down or struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they're banking on the gimmick, not the product.
Yeah, they're not providing customers with something unique. They're looking at, oh, can we make it look cool?
Yep.
Not really. Is it good?
That's right.
So you opened up your store in Chinatown, and then you started to expand. So... how did you manage the expansion? How did you decide where you were going to expand to?
Oh, that was... I think that's another crazy thing I did. Don't know what hit my head, but when we started to talk about expansion, I just go like, yes, let's do Melbourne. And if you know, like, that's the worst idea ever, because you have your first flagship store in Sydney. Naturally, you should expand to a bit... probably around near you geographically, so that you can support your expansion, you can build infrastructure. But something hit my head and just go like, let's do this in Melbourne. So what it means is suddenly I have the biggest learning curve of setting up across 1,000 kilometers away. So
sure.
What it means is I have to set up new equipment, new system, new structure, everything. And that was hard, but I did not regret it, because it really extended our foothold. Suddenly, as a brand, we are in Sydney, we're in Melbourne. Yes, it was hard to manage. It was almost impossible trying to manage like separate location. And especially 1,000 kilometers apart, you might as well be in a different country.
Was the legislation slightly different? Did that create challenges?
Legislation-wise, it's not that much, not that different.
Mm-hmm.
But what different is the crowd. The crowd in Sydney is very different from Melbourne. And the best example is like two very basic flavors, cookies and cream. Sydney loves that flavor. Sydney just can't get enough of cookies and cream. But when we put it in Melbourne, no one touches it.
Wow.
It's like people stayed away from it.
Gosh.
Whereas a beer sorbet, Melbourne loved it.
A beer sorbet.
Yeah,
a beer sorbet.
And Melbourne loved that beer sorbet, but bring it to Sydney, no one touched it. So the crowd is very different.
And did that surprise you, that the crowd was so different?
Very much. I thought, you know what, it's going to be different, but I did not know how different they were.
I guess we think it's Australia, Australians are all the same,
yeah.
There might be some quirks, but...
Yeah, there might be, but then, yeah,
there's
that surprises us.
And so you expanded to Melbourne and you kind of learnt that that was probably not the best step. So when it came to your next store that you opened, what lessons had you learned from Melbourne that, that made that process a bit easier?
No, I don't think I learned, because my next store, I did went back to Sydney. So in Sydney, our next store is Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, like our focus and everything changed, because in Newtown, when we set up, we wanted to set up like, it's time to move out. We can't stay individual shops anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to start centralizing a lot of our processes, mm-hmm. our production and all that. So Newtown is the first step towards centralizing.
Mm-hmm. And so why did you choose Newtown?
I always loved Newtown. I love Newtown, like Fitzroy, which in Melbourne very similar to Newtown. So it's just got the right, I feel like it's right for the brand. So that's why we chose Newtown. And I didn't choose Newtown initially, only because it was, again, I wasn't very familiar with that area,
mm-hmm.
and it was very pricey.
Mm,
and
for sure.
Being a first store, you can't take that first step. It's too hard.
I like how you've chosen areas that you love, that you have an interest in, because you're passionate about your product. You need to be passionate about the area. It's a cool thing to do, particularly you said you aren't familiar with some of those areas. It's a big step, but it reflects you, which is really nice.
Yeah, I guess you have to, because you want people to fall in love with the brand.
Mm.
And to be able to fall in love with the brand, people need something they can associate to. So that's the same with us. That's why we chose location that we love, because we can see shops being there. Like, if you ask me, oh, would I want to work in Wynyard? You know, I can find you a spot in Wynyard with massive foot traffic. And I would say, no, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. You might have the foot traffic, but if it's not the right foot traffic, then
yep.
it'll be busy on the street, but not in your store.
That's right.
So what are the plans next, I guess? Where do you feel that you might expand to next?
Well, looking at it on how the market is going, I don't think we will put more stores in Sydney and Melbourne. We
mm-hmm.
just want to keep it local. But I think back to the whole point where when I first started, I had this really silly dream of N2 being like having the logo, and then on the bottom it says Sydney, Melbourne, New York, London, Tokyo. Like, it just got that ring to it. And again, being like stupid, I just go like, you know what? We have done Sydney, we have done Melbourne. Time to look into Tokyo and maybe New York. So that's where we think we'll be heading.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as if to make our life easier, we chose to go to a country that is so different in culture and
for
also
sure.
legislation and everything. So that, it's now the biggest challenge we have at the moment.
And Japan will be interesting, because, guys, if you aren't familiar with Japanese culture, it's quite rude to eat on the street. Whereas your stores at the moment in Australia, it's very much about coming in, picking up the ice cream and walking, and in Japan they just don't do that. So that would open a whole new challenge for you.
Yep, that I learned as I got there. Initially I thought, in Japan, come on, just a small shopfront, done, end of business. But no, that's not the case. Like you say, it's rude to walk. So now suddenly it gives us a challenge. Oh God, we need to have a seating space for customer, which we have always done, but it wasn't our main focus. It's
mm.
just that we build a shop, we have some spare space. Okay guys, sit down, sit here, you can have a seat and enjoy. But now that would be our main focus. So again, challenge like this, I guess, like I said before, we will learn the hard way.
Mm.
It's just trial and error, you know, understanding the culture, learning as we go. And to me, I really enjoy the process, because it's just that you're giving new challenges and you have to come up with solutions. And I guess that's the fun part of it.
And I think it'll be so exciting for you with Japan, because their palate is so different to ours. You'll come up with these flavours that you would never have dreamed of, and then you'll try one in Australia that works so well, and it just won't work. They won't embrace it.
Yeah, that's the part I'm actually afraid most. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah. we have been known to be pushing the boundaries of flavors and stuff. But then, knowing Japan, it can be quite a conservative society as well. So when it comes to flavors, you know, without having a store open, we don't know how far we can push or how should we push.
You don't want to be too cheeky because they may not embrace
it. They may not get it. See, Australia, sometimes I have to say, we do have quite good humor. So in terms of naming and playing with flavors, we have the room to play with.
Yeah.
But in Japan, you know, a society where respect is one of the most important thing, it's just, yeah, we just have to learn. We just have to learn.
So is the plan for you to go to Japan for a bit and be there for setup, or are you looking at possibly franchising or sending somebody over to do that work?
I'll probably go there myself and set it up. Franchising is an option that has came across my mind many, many times, only because, look, it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. Our models somehow fit the franchise model perfectly. And it's good money, you know, to franchise out. Say if you open up a few branch in within a year, that's very good income. But I don't think that helps with the brand. I think Antwood deserves something better. So that's hence we're keeping it small and quirky and in key locations and having little flagship stores. And like I said, it's the bigger dream that we are looking at.
And so what is the bigger dream? You talk about your idea of Sydney and Tokyo and Milan, but what's the bigger dream in terms of the concept? What do you want it to become?
I think I want it to be, like you said, it's into Sydney, Melbourne, Tokyo, London. Just any cool cities. We want to be in cool cities.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say cool cities, probably by my standard, my lousy standard, what is cool and what not. So, I think the bigger dream, I hope, say, in 5-10 years' time, we will have N2 in every continent.
Wow.
That would be the bigger dream. But again, dream is dream. You can try to achieve it. Sometimes, you know, it happens and you won't. It doesn't. So it's just a matter of how to make it work.
It's just a great big learning curve.
Yeah,
sounds like that's what it's been like for you since the get-go, which is good.
Yeah. I guess you learn, and sometimes you learn the hard way.
Yeah. What's next for Min? it's a hard one. What's next for you?
That's a very tough one.
Do you see into being yours forever, or do you eventually see you taking on a different project or identifying a different niche that kind of sits with M2, or are you happy with just continuing with the company?
I'll probably say we are looking to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we have N2. N2 has been a very good stepping stone for us, not just in terms of financially, but also learning, you know, operations and whatnot. I guess we will be looking into diversifying into different areas, so that, you know, we have an umbrella of brands, like we have brands that works with each other and leverage each other's strength to build.
Cool. Particularly, I guess, for a business like yours, where in winter people don't want gelato as much, so it's good for you to have that cushion where you can have a business in winter that kind of is productive.
That's exactly the reason why, because gelato, it's pretty seasonal.
Mm.
So when it comes winter, it's all about hibernating the business until it's ready for spring and summer.
Mm.
And I think we want to look into putting our eggs in different baskets.
For sure.
Now, having all in basket, yes, it's good, but, you know, it's got its risks.
Cool. If you could start again, all over again, what advice do you wish you had that you have now?
If I were to start again, I guess my advice to myself is staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn more about HR and managing people.
Yep.
I think that's a very crucial skill. And yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that HR, and also, again, like I said before, start early. Don't wait.
Cool. So you've been doing this for a number of years, as you said. For the students, if they're thinking about setting up their own business, what advice would you offer them? What do you think is the most important advice that you think that would help them?
Be passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go in for the money. If you're going in for the money, you end up burning yourself.
Mm.
So do something that you're really passionate about, because if you're passionate about it, you will not count the hours you're spending into it, because you're so engrossed in it. And if you're passionate about it, it comes through in your product, in your company. So I think that is the most important thing.
I guess too, when you're looking to get finance and when you're looking to get premises, if the people involved can see how passionate you are, they're much more likely to take a risk on you. But if they see that you're only in it for the money, then they wonder how long you're going to be committed before you make enough money and you move on.
That's right. That's correct.
Cool. Well, Min, thank you so much for talking to us today. Guys, if you haven't been to N2 Gelato, you must visit. Min, where are all your premises? Because I don't know where they all are, so hopefully you do.
So our first store is in Chinatown. And then our second store is in Fitzroy, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Third store is actually back in Newtown, Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth store is Melbourne CBD.
Cool. So, guys, if you're in Sydney or Melbourne, then please do go to Min's store. They're very cool. Their lines are normally quite long because there's that demand, but it really does look like mad scientists. If you're not in the area, then do have a look at Min's website, Facebook, Instagram, lots of different pictures and information. Very, very interesting. Min, thank you so much for your time today. And all the best for the future with your global business.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you very much.